fouled off the high, and he doesn't get back in the line of scrimmage. He's back. He steps up. Too late. He's sacked. Dumps it over the middle. Incomplete. Intercepted on a deflection. Picked off by Rodney McLeod. He rolls. Looks. Fires. Complete. Touchdown. Ertz. His sixth of the season. Back he goes, and he's sacked again. They got him. It was Brandon Graham. Back goes Mostert. He fires, and it's intercepted. Mills down the left side. He cuts back at the 15. He's running across the field. He gets a block. He cuts back. He's in for the touchdown. Jalen Mills, magnificent. He tries to sneak, but he does, and he goes no place. Gets it off inside for Gannon. This is a 51-yard attempt. It's got the distance. It's gone again. He's back. He is floating it to Jeffrey, who has it on his feet at the 10. 5. Touchdown. Alshon Jeffrey. It is blocked. It is blocked. The give goes to Blunt. And Blunt runs into the end zone.
Our Bud Light story of the game, Merle Reese, Mike Quick. We welcome you to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Eagles Insider, with the Hall of Famer, Brian Westbrook. And the Eagles just take care of business again. Soggy conditions, wasn't particularly artistic. Carson Wentz was only average, but a 23-point win.
The offense didn't get it clicking early. And there were times when we, even in our Super Bowl season, offensively, we just didn't have it. The good thing is that we had a defense that had the ability to step up and win the game for us. Our special teams certainly had the ability to step up and win the game for us. And this team is great because offensively, they can win the games. Defensively, they can win the games. And special teams-wise, they can do it as well. That's what makes teams special. All three phases have to be able to contribute. We're seeing this with this football team.
Yeah, over and over and over again. 7-1 halfway through this 2017 season. And the Eagles prepare for Denver, the third straight home game. They come into town, the Broncos, on Sunday after playing tonight. Hard game in Kansas City. Might be tired. I mean, can you imagine getting to the bye week at 8-1? Like, I just, as optimistic as we all are here, it really sets you up for a wonderful November and December.
Well, I don't think anyone can honestly say that they saw this coming. But now that we're at this point where we have the potential of being 8-1, you're watching the team continue to develop. They continue to get better every single week. That's why the quarterback, even through his ups and downs, he continues to hold people accountable. They continue to get better on the offensive side. And when you have a defense that gets the ball back to you and a special team that does their thing, now you have a team that's hard to stop. That's what we have right now.
But within all this, some really interesting things to talk about and some questions and perhaps some concerns as well. We will later look into the defense and the special teams and review some of the big plays from Sunday's game. But right now, let's take a look at the Eagles offense presented by Golden Nugget Jeweler, where Philly gets engaged. And Brian, the Eagles offense, again, really not engaged until late in that first half. We saw San Francisco blitz. We saw Halapolivati Vaitai at left tackle, ups and downs. Yeah. So let's get critical here, because the coaches, you know, they're getting critical with the players. What did you see that perhaps raises concerns?
Well, I think the offensive line as a unit didn't have their best game. There's some things that they did up front with the games. And so what the defenses are trying to do, they're trying to confuse the quarterback as well as the offensive line. And when you have guys that haven't played a lot together, it's easy to confuse those guys. And so you see defenses moving around. Their tackle goes out. Their end comes in. They bring a linebacker. And now the offensive line has to depend on their communication. That's something that can be built. That's something that can get better, because yesterday it wasn't very good. I think Vaitai has to do a better job of punching, which he doesn't do a very good job of right now, and redirecting his feet. If he can get those two things down, I think he'll be a much better player.
Can he get those things down? I mean, we've got a half season to go here. Like, really? I mean, first started left tackle, so we got to give him some slack. But can he become better at punching? Can he work the feet better? Can he get that nasty attitude?
Well, it comes to what you're going to do in practice. You see yourself on film. You see the things that you're doing. You see the things that you need to work on. Can you direct those things in practice? Are your coaches willing to invest the time? Now, the coaches, they want to invest the time. I think the players want to invest the time. Now it's how much can you get better in a week? I'm not so sure that he'll get to that optimal level, but he can improve. They can put him in better situations as far as the offensive play calls and things like that, and that way you can hide players, and that's what Doug's job is all about.
Quarterback Carson Wentz was mortal on Sunday, 18 of 32. He had two touchdown passes, one interception that led to a Niners touchdown. And, Brian, he does this occasionally, holds the ball, looking for that big play rather than getting rid of it. And as a result, he takes some hits. And we all want to see Carson stay clean.
That's a young quarterback thing. Young quarterbacks usually hold the ball a little bit too long, wait for guys to be wide open. But the good one, like Carson, he's saying, if I hold it a little bit more, I can get this big throw, instead of saying, you know what, I don't want to take this hit. Young quarterback's a young man. He has to learn this lesson. It's not worth the extra hit for him on his body, especially in a game where you have pretty much under control. He has to understand when to hold them and when to fold them. That's a lesson that, for young guys, is very, very critical.
And the run game, you know, not spectacular, but they did run the football a bit, and Corey Clement got things going a little bit late. But, again, just kind of an okay performance from the offense.
The run game will never go anywhere if your offensive line does not reestablish the line of scrimmage. What we're seeing from our offensive line is a lot of stalemates. They're standing right on the line of scrimmage and not moving anybody, moving the pile either forward. Most of the time, they're getting moved backwards. So it's hard for the running backs. The other thing about the running backs, they need to do a better job of putting their foot in the ground and exploding down the field. Right now, some of the guys are just not doing that.
Okay. And wide receiver-wise, Alshon Jeffrey makes the big play down the field. We see Matt Collins getting more and more involved in the offense. And Zach Ertz, again, touchdown in the red zone. Guy's going his way to the Pro Bowl.
Zach has been playing well. Yeah. He's getting in a great position. Doug continues to put him in positions where he can catch the ball and make plays down the football field. Carson loves him. Quarterback's favorite security blanket is always a tight end. He continues to find Zach Ertz.
So a lot of teaching points. I think the coaches will certainly hammer those points home to the players this week as they get ready for a very good Denver Broncos. And that'll do it for our Look at the Eagles offense. Brian, our Look at the Eagles offense presented by Golden Nugget Jeweler, where Philly gets engaged. The Eagles must be better next week, Brian, against a very tough Denver defense coming to town. We will take a look at the Eagles defense and the special teams a little bit later in the show, but when we return, a look at some of the big plays from Sunday's 33-10 win over the 49ers. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by McDonald's, introducing McDonald's new buttermilk crispy tenders, irresistibly delicious and made with 100% white meat chicken. Try a four-piece at the introductory price of $3.
I knew I wanted to do something that had a direct influence.
I just want to do what people did for me, which is to provide me a seat at the table.
Everyone has limitations, and everyone has the ability to overcome those limitations.
Without that Temple experience, we wouldn't have a blueprint to run the company.
We've done 136 cleanups across 22 U.S. states.
Without Temple, I wouldn't be in a position now where I can help people that are ill.
Without Temple, I wouldn't be me.
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood. And fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's Eagles 360. Welcome back. Dave Spadaro along with Brian Westbrook. Time now for a look at some of the big plays from Sunday's win over San Francisco. It's our All-22 review presented by Community College of Philadelphia. First, we want to take a look at a sequence of plays that led to an Eagles touchdown, a completion to Mac Hollins, and then the touchdown pass to Zach Ertz. It's Greg Cosell with Fran Duffy.
All right, so it's a 3-0 game. The Eagles offense has the ball. They take a sack in plus territory. Yeah. So now they're behind the sticks. They come up with a huge play in the passing game to Mac Hollins. Show me what you see here.
Yeah, well, Mac Hollins, it's really important here. He's up here. Now, notice how close he is to the offensive tackle. That's what we call a minus split. That's absolutely critical because the 49ers are playing cover three. So in cover three, the corner is normally outside to begin with. He's what we call an outside leverage corner. But with this minus split by Hollins, that's even more important because now the corner is responsible, as you drew, Fran, that entire third of the field. So what this does is it sets up and Hollins runs a great route because he actually widens the corner even more. And that is so critical because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to widen him before you break inside, because here's what you're trying to do on this route. Create as much space as possible between the corner and the deep safety. That's exactly what you're trying to get accomplished here. And now we can actually run this. This is what we call a skinny post. But this is so good by Carson Wentz because he frees it right there. What you're going to see here, just a tad later, is perfect. But what you're going to see here, you see where Hollins is? He hasn't even begun his break. Carson Wentz is looking there now because he just knows that that deep safety is not going to be a factor. Wentz is going to throw this ball way before Hollins makes his break because this is skinny post timing. And it's really five-step drop timing. There's Carson here. And actually, if we show this now and run it, you'll see exactly when this ball's thrown. Hollins has not yet even begun his break when this ball is thrown. That is high-level execution by both Hollins with his route and Carson Wentz throwing the ball. And, of course, this leads to a touchdown.
Yeah, no question. A few plays later, they're able to punch the ball in. And what the other big thing that helped in that play as well was the formation. He had that 3-by-1 set. That high safety automatically is going to cheat a little bit more to that three-receiver side. So having Carson be very disciplined with his eyes makes a great anticipation throw. Great route from Mack Hollins.
Yeah.
It really helps set
really
up this
well
play.
Done.
Which is now they're down inside the 5-yard line. A pass interference ball put them right on the goal line here. And just a simple pre-snap motion. This is a very run-heavy look right now. Two running backs in the game. We're going to let this run, and you're going to see they're going to send Corey Clement out into motion.
And then we're going to stop it right there.
You're going to see what happens here with this San Francisco defense is now they're pointing out assignments, and they're a little bit confused about what they're seeing, and that creates a bust.
Yeah, it absolutely does, because what you have is you have two running backs. Obviously, there's no fullback. You have Smallwood now in the back. Field, Clement right there, and they're a little confused how to play this, because now what you do is you actually have three receivers to the same side, because there's Zach Gertz right there. So now Zach's just going to run a little corner route, and you're going to get a little kind of sit route, curl route, and you're going to get Smallwood working in the flat. This is a basic three-man route combination in the red zone. Everybody runs this, but you see the 49ers, they get lost here. They lose Zach Ertz, the last guy you figured they lose, but they lost Zach Ertz, and it's an easy touchdown throw for Carson Wentz, but the design of the play caught the 49ers.
So you get some great execution there on the big play to Mack Hollins, and then some nice disguised pre-snap motion there helps confuse the San Francisco defense, creates a touchdown.
Thanks so much, guys. Brian, what I really like about this roster is that everyone contributes. The young players are growing up very quickly. We see Mack Hollins become more and more involved in the offense. What do you see his role in the second half of the season?
Well, he's obviously an explosive receiver. He runs great routes. And I think Carson has some confidence in him. And so anytime a guy catches the football, the quarterback finds continuity. He finds confidence in that guy. And I think as long as this season continues to progress the way that it has been, Mack Hollins is a guy that you should be expecting big plays from in the future. Carson loves this guy. He'll continue to throw the ball.
One more play to take a look at here on the defensive side of the ball. This time, well, Jalen Mills, who has three interceptions. Boy, he's really, we'll talk about it afterward, made great strides in year number two. His pick six, we take a look at it, our All-22 review, presented by Community College of Philadelphia.
All right, moving now from offense to defense. The defense got on the scoreboard today, Greg. A great interception for a touchdown by Jalen Mills. A couple plays ago, we showed how the Eagles' offense was able to take advantage of cover three. Well, now the defense makes a great play out of cover three. Jalen Mills is a cover three corner. Tell us, before we roll this a little bit, tell us what he's looking at here and what are his responsibilities on this play.
Yeah, and cover three is a foundational coverage for the Eagles. So, obviously, Jalen Mills has a lot of experience playing cover three. They practice it a lot, as you know. So, in cover three, normally the corner plays off. And here's Jalen Mills. So, you're seeing him. He's going to play off. Really good cover three corners have a knack for doing two things. Seeing through to the quarterback and reading the receiver. So that's really what you're trying to do. Now, obviously, you have to be able to do both because you can't just keep your eyes on the quarterback and let the receiver run by you. Here, Mills does this about as well as you can do it because normally in cover three, you're playing with your body position kind of turned inside a little bit. Now, most cover three corners will play with outside leverage. Mills is kind of playing this a little head up. He might be more comfortable doing that. A lot of coaches will let a cover three corner play the way they're most comfortable. So if we just run this a little bit and you keep your eye on Jalen Mills here, you'll see this is really good technique. He's well aware of the quarterback, C.J. Beathard. He's got his eyes in both. Freezer right there. Look at him right now. He sees Beathard. There's no question. He's reading through the receiver all the way through to Beathard. He knows that C.J. Beathard has now started his delivery because look at Mills' body position. He's ready to make his break because he sees the quarterback. This is high-level technique playing cover three. And so we can get that off and we can watch the rest of it. Look at him. He runs the route, as they like to say, we all like to say, he ran the route for the receiver because of his technique. That was a technique play that accounted for the interception.
And what I love there, too, is everyone says, oh, it was a play in zone coverage. And, you know, you don't need to be a great man-to-man corner to make that play. Well, it was a 3-by-1 set for San Francisco.
Right.
So that safety was cheating over to the other side. He was on an island on that play. If he misses that jump or if he mistimes that, that might be a big play going the other way. Jalen Mills makes a great play on an island.
And that's why I said about playing technique, why some coaches will allow corners to play when they're most comfortable, because he was essentially in a man-to-man situation on the outside there to the boundary. It's a zone concept, but he's really playing man coverage there.
So the Eagles take advantage here. They go up 17-0 before halftime.
Fran and Greg, thank you so very much. A big play for the defense, as they have been coming up with takeaways all season. Jalen Mills, what a difference a year makes here. Last year, a seventh-round draft pick, tenacious, but not playing with the kind of confidence he is now.
He's playing with a lot of confidence. Even before this, and last year, you saw a young man that competed every single day. He wants to get better. He's a guy that you can build around. These are the types of guys that Joe Douglas and Andy White are trying to get in this program, guys that want to compete. They want to go out there and get better every single day. But it starts a long way before Sundays. It starts in the film room. He understood exactly the type of route that was going to get run against him. He understood it. He recognized the route. He thought on the film, he recognized it on the field, and now you have to go out there and make the great play. He did a great job of competing, making a great play. And then this is a defensive player's dream. Get the ball in your hands and try to score. He did a great job of catching up with some of his blockers and getting in the end zone.
His first touchdown since high school. And it probably kind of illuminates the depth that the Eagles have at defensive back. What are they going to do? Ronald Darby's going to come back Sunday or after the bye week. We've got Sidney Jones out there, you know, itching to get on the practice field, potentially playing this year. We don't know. How do you see this thing playing out at cornerback?
Well, it's a good problem to have. You have guys that have the ability to help your team, waiting in the wings, waiting for their opportunity. And some of these guys are probably a little bit more talented than your starters. But your starters are playing so well, they're being so competitive, it's hard to take those guys off the field. So what you have to do is you wean these guys in little by little, and then maybe they play a bigger role. But as long as these guys, their starters are out there playing at this level, picking the ball off, returning it, it's hard to take those guys off the field. You allow these guys to kind of play their part, and then you need a little help. That's when you add Darby back in. That's when you actually try to get Jones in there as well.
Yeah, well, who would have thought it?
Who
would have thought that the Eagles would have such a surplus of cornerbacks? When we talked back in the summer,
right,
Nobody thought that, right?
That was it was a big
weakness.
Position of concern,
yeah.
Yeah. Now you have guys that are ready to compete. They go out there and compete every single game. That's the power of having a coach that preaches that. They go out there every single week and get better, and now you're seeing the results.
Good stuff. That's our look at the big plays from the win over San Francisco. More to get to here on Eagles 360. A look at the special teams and the defense when we come back. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Toyota. Now is your chance to vote for the Toyota Player of the Week. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com, Toyota Player of the Week. Cast your vote and get a chance at a brand new Toyota.
Every year, one in 68 children born in the U.S. has autism. In Philadelphia, that would overflow Lincoln Financial Field. To help them, we've created the Eagles Autism Challenge, a cycling, run, walk event to fund autism research. We bring the players, coaches, and fun. You bring your bicycle, your sneakers, your family, your heart. And together, let's advance autism research.
Finding the end zone is his specialty. In fact, he's found it over 17 times already today. He is a professional football watcher. Because he has NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity, he catches every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity. Switch to an X1 Triple Play and add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone.
call or go online today.
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood. And fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in-store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
At some houses, weekends are all about peaceful relaxation. At the Carter House, the Dream Whistlers are still trying to find their sound. And by choosing the NRG Free Weekends plan, the electricity supply for all that beautiful noise is free, all weekend long. Lucky them. NRG.
Our final segment on Eagles 360, Dave Spadaro, Brian Westbrook, time to talk about the Eagles' defense and special teams in the win over the 49ers. Brian, the defense, I mean, we saw it coming. A dominating front four against an offensive line that really isn't all together, a rookie quarterback. And it played out as we expected. The Eagles crushed up front. Mm-hmm. And they crush every week up front. And Fletcher Cox is having a monster season. And Brandon Graham off the edge and depth, you see it. This team defensively can withstand the loss to players like Jordan Hicks.
It's weird. You miss him. With your front four, you're talking about you have eight guys or so that can go out there and make a difference. You have eight guys that could potentially start, and you see them come in the game, the shift change. If I'm an offensive lineman, I have to be upset every single time I see a new guy come in because I'm saying these guys are just as good as a starter. They know how to get to the quarterback, and they're fresh. Here I am offensively. I'm tired. They're bringing a new, fresh group of guys in. It's exciting to see these young guys get involved. It's exciting to see older guys like Chris Long continue to show that effort and that motor that's made him a special first-round type of player. This defense is special because that front four is special. They continue to hide some of the weaknesses. But this is, if this continues, this is now building up something that that you should be fearful of, especially if you're offense.
So four sacks, nine tackles for loss, 12 quarterback hits, 10 passes defense, two big interceptions, one touchdown. Not a bad day's work for the defense.
Continues to keep the offense in the game even when they don't play well.
Okay, so let's move on to special teams here. A weird day for special teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jake Elliott booms 50-yard field goals and misses two extra points. Mm-hmm. Missed a field goal last week. Are we concerned at all about Jake?
No. I mean, I think Elliott has built up enough credibility with us, especially as the fans, to say we trust you. Obviously, yesterday was a weird game. The footing, the ball handling, things like that, because of the rain, because of some of the mud, things like that. I'm not so worried about Elliott at all. I know that if it comes down to a 45, 50-yard field goal, we trot him out there. He'll get the job done.
And how about Donnie Jones, 45.8 yards on six punts, the Eagles getting down the field, as you say, winning the battle of hidden yardage, putting San Francisco in backed up territory.
San Francisco coming into the game offensively was not very good. Quarterback's not very good. No receivers to speak of. Now it's about pinning them deep and make them go 90 yards. Donnie Jones has gone a long way of helping this team win the field position battle. You talk about hitting yards, you have to be able to pick up those yards. I think Donnie Jones continues to help us. Now, on the punt return side, I think we need to do a better job of going up and catching the football because you can lose games in those hitting yardage games as well when you don't field the ball and you allow it to roll down to the 10, 8-yard line.
Do you think Dave Phipp told Kenyon to kind of stay away from the football if there's even a chance?
Yeah, I mean, it's again, you're a game that has weather issues. You have the rain coming down. You have, you know, sight issues, especially when you're looking up in the sky for the ball. So it certainly could have been one of those things. However, you just want to try to save as much yardage, especially with the struggling offense, as you can as a returner. He has to find a way to go up and get that ball so you're not rolling down the ball all the way to inside of the 5-yard line because now that's 95 yards that your offense has to go. And the opposite side of Donnie Jones, what he's been doing, you don't want your offense to start in that position because it limits as a play caller what you're able to do.
We are nitpicking, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, this is a good thing. If you're able to nitpick after a win, that's a great thing.
Great. 7-1. Everything's fantastic. Yeah. That's a look at the Eagles' win over the 49ers. Now let's take a look at what's ahead for you. Amoroso's on the menu. We've got Chris Wilson, some tape study of that ferocious defensive line. Glenn Macnow as my co-host on Tuesday. He will have his takeaways from the win over the 49ers. And head coach Doug Peterson in studio is weekly one-on-one presented by Wawa. Brian, 7-1. I guess I'll ask you this. Biggest surprise through eight games for you?
You know, I thought the defensive line was going to be good. It's two things, actually. I thought the defensive line was going to be good, and they've lived up to that. Secondary was a big concern, especially losing Darby. It was a panic attack. You lose a guy that you went out and had to have early on in the season. This secondary has held their own and stood the kind of the test of time with the help of the defensive line. And I think Carson's development, he continues to get better every single week. I think last week, this past week, he took a step back. This is what I know about him. He'll get back in that film room. He understands where the weaknesses are at. He'll figure out those things and come back even better next week.
I thought he handled the weather well, though. I mean, the bad interception, yes. Mm-hmm. We've gotten so used to these superlative A-plus efforts that he played like every other quarterback in the league yesterday, other than Deshaun Watson and Russell
crazy.
Wilson. Yeah, so 7-1, the Eagles rolling, getting ready for the Denver Broncos on Sunday. We're back on Tuesday. Brian Westbrook, thanks so much for joining us on this Victory Monday for the Eagles. Thank you for joining us on Eagles 360. We're back tomorrow. Glenn Macnow with me. Thanks so much, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.